it's Thanksgiving Day. And it's what? Thanksgiving Day. Well, that's what we're going to be doing on this Rumination Thursday, November the 16th in the year of our Lord 2017. I know Thanksgiving is a week away, but because of the Thanksgiving holiday, we will not be on the air either Thursday or Friday live. So this is your last opportunity to hear Wes Reimnitz this month. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom.
It's your last opportunity to hear from you.
Last opportunity of November.
Yes. Well, that's true. Well, maybe November 2018 you'll be back.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I was taking a look at the Thanksgiving readings, and the normal one everybody uses is the 10 lepers out of Luke 17. But right. There are also readings from Deuteronomy 8, Psalm 67, Philippians 4, and 1 Timothy 2. And you came up with a suggestion.
Well, traditionally, the first lesson that appears is Philippians, for the epistle, is Philippians chapter 4.
Yes.
And as I was mentioning to you over the phone, that I thought, really, for this year, 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4, would be more appropriate. That's the alternate reading for Thanksgiving.
Yes, on this Thursday, we call it Rumination Thursday. I actually got that word from a professor I had at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Dr. Martin Charlemagne. And he would say that after you do the many steps leading up to a sermon, you then just sit back and ruminate. And that comes from a cow chewing its food and just kind of take a look at everything. So we bring another pastor on, and normally on Thursday it's Pastor Wes Reimnitz, and we take a look at items that are going to be coming up. Now, Thanksgiving is really not part of a church year, is it?
No. Well, for us in America, it dates back to the time of the Pilgrims. And right around 1622-23, they had their first couple of Thanksgiving. And then it launched into George Washington in 1789.
Oh.
And then it is John Adams and James Madison also set up dates. But it didn't really take off until right around 1527. There was a lady by the name of Sarah Hale who was saying, hey, we need to get a date down for Thanksgiving. So
No, you said 1527?
18.
Oh, okay.
27.
Yeah, I was going to say 1527 was Pete Luther's doing it. You can't get out of
Reformation.
Yeah, you're still in that 500th anniversary.
Well, it's in 1863 when Lincoln, I believe at Gettysburg, suggested that the last Thursday of November be Thanksgiving Day.
Now, how can we have a Thanksgiving Day when the country isn't supposed to believe in God? Who are we thanking?
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the things I read said it can be celebrated as a secular day and others celebrated as a religious day. I think for us among Christians, we look at it as a religious day.
Absolutely, because there is no Thanksgiving to anybody if it's a secular day where there is no God. And so what do you give? Thanks to evolution?
Yeah. But, you know, it's out of Thanksgiving is where we get Black Friday. Did you know that?
The shopping day, you mean?
Yep.
How so?
Well, it was in right around 1939, Franklin Delano Roosevelt moved Thanksgiving to the fourth Thursday of the month so that they could have a longer shopping time for Christmas.
You know, I just read an article. Do you know what is a better shopping day than Black Friday?
Cyber Monday?
Yes. That's where you do your shopping on the computer. And so many people are doing that now. In fact, I was at a store. I'm looking for a piece of equipment I want to use. And I said, what if it goes on sale during Christmas? They said, if it goes on sale up through January the 14th, you'll get the reduced price come back, except for Black Friday.
Hmm.
So I'm definitely going there on Black Friday because that's the day when it's really going to be on sale. But be that as it may, what did you find in 1 Timothy that you think is appropriate for Thanksgiving?
Well, let me read it first. It's
yes.
A short one. First of all, I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So verse 2, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. We see all this disruption going on just in our nation, in many nations out there, and things like that. And I think it's a time that we pray for our leaders and give thanks for the peace that God gives to us, that we can reach out with that good news of Jesus Christ.
Well, we don't have anyone to pray for because we don't have a king.
Yeah, but it says all who are in authority.
Oh, that's right. Well, by the way, what are you reading, the NIV?
New American Standard.
Oh, New American Standard, okay. Because the ESV, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life.
Yeah, that could take your mayor, your governor, your...
Yes. I preached here on Tuesday, and it just so happened, you know, they use various days of the church year to honor former saints, and that was Emperor Justinian. And one of the things he was really well known for is not only making sure that priests were highly regarded, he was Orthodox, but also that the government would be operating properly in order to bring a peaceful and quiet life. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, I never knew that.
No, I didn't either until I saw that his name was on there. So I looked him up and found out this information. But here is something that Paul is writing to Timothy, that thanksgiving be for all people. And as I said, my translation says, for kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way.
Right.
I tell you, it's really sad how much, and I knew when it happened we were going to have trouble in this country in 1973 when they okayed abortion.
Abortion, you got it.
It has just made such a difference in dividing the country. And I just can't understand how anybody would think that is kind of okay. I was watching NCIS recently. That's at... television program, and one of the men who was married, they were having a baby, and he wanted to know what the sex of the baby was, and the wife didn't want to know ahead of time, and so she was making sure with his computer he couldn't figure it out. But then she had an emergency and she had to have an ultrasound, and it was very interesting how the program ended. I was really pleased. He came in and said, I found out what the sex was. And they asked him, male or female? And he looked at them and said, male. And then they said, oh, that's wonderful. And then he said, and female. And then up on the screen, he had a picture of the ultrasound, and there were two human babies in the womb moving around. And I was really surprised, because how you can see something like that and then think that you can do an abortion, and because this is family radio, we won't go into the details how that occurs. But the fact of the matter is, where are people's minds where they think that they can go ahead and extinguish a baby because it's their body?
Right. No, and recently I heard in a different state than what I live in, a guy running for office, that he had high moral character even though he did believe an abortion was okay.
Oh, boy.
And he had a high moral character.
Yeah. No, I tell you, anybody who is for abortion is contrary to the will of God, and that's just something that God does not tolerate at all. And so that's why it's important. The other ruling the Supreme Court made was gay marriage, and that is going to lead to horrible problems between people. Already you're seeing many of these gay people who are getting married. They have multiple partners. They have quick divorces. And it's just not something. Remember, there are things that God put into creation, like gravity, that we end up figuring laws out for, how gravity works. What people don't realize, there are also such consequences to immorality.
Well, Romans chapter 1, he said he hands them over to their desires, and continue.
Well said.
Great.
Well
yeah.
said. Yeah. In fact, remember Sodom and Gomorrah, where the things they once thought was wrong, they now thought were right, and vice versa.
Mm.
Or at the time of Judges, I asked somebody, what's the last verse in the book of Judges? And they didn't know. And we took a look at it, and it is everybody did what they thought was right in their own eyes.
Yep.
That's the kind of country we're living in. So this Timothy is really important. How would you use it in a sermon to help people to understand the importance of government?
Well, I think that verse 4, who desires all men to be saved,
yes,
to the knowledge of the truth. You know, to have peace within our borders or peace within the world also gives us to us, and you brought it out well with that story of Justinian, that we can get the gospel message out there and preach it to everyone. That's about the good news of Jesus.
Yes. In fact, that's a beautiful verse to contradict Calvin's point of view of double predestination.
Yes.
How so?
Well, it's the fact that he's still looking to bring in people. He didn't preordain people to go to hell.
Excellent. Yes. He desires all people to be saved. And you can't have a contradiction in the will of God. If his desire is for all people to be saved, then he wouldn't be desiring to send some to hell and predestine them ahead of time.
Or, as I've heard you say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Yep. And so faith is everything. It's just really interesting how many pastors are moving to obedience. I just got an email from a lay person who listens to our program, and the pastor, and I don't know who it was, he was talking about the 10 virgins, and he said that all the virgins were Christians.
Ooh.
And the foolish ones were those who just were not obedient enough. And that's how he ended the sermon, on being obedience. Even though Jesus says in the parable, when they come into the wedding feast, the five foolish ones, the groom says, I never knew you. Well, how can that refer to a Christian?
You know, yeah, I heard you when you did the parable the other day, and what came to mind was Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, and the fact of the matter is we live a life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think it was well pointed out where you say there are those who believe saving faith in Christ versus the unbeliever cares nothing.
Yes, the way I like talking about faith versus sight is if you know something by sight, you have evidence for it.
Right.
Well, we don't have any evidence for the main teachings of Christianity. There's none at all. Now, some people think that the history of the Bible, if you prove that, that's evidence of Christianity. No, it's not. The evidence of when you look at members of your congregation especially after you've been at some of them for some years, do you ever conclude, boy, every one of these are, they're sinless and righteous? Whoever concludes that?
Or as,
by sight, like, that never is true.
Right. Well, it's like in one congregation at a Bible class I asked, I said, you know, you confess your sins with such gusto, you know, and it amazes me that you do. And lady in the back, she raises her hand and she says, well, Pastor, that's because we know what's coming next.
Oh, that's interesting, which is the absolution. Yes.
Jesus forgives me.
But remember how that begins. Upon this, your
confession.
Yes. So the pastor isn't saying that everyone listening to him, you know, that they had a proper confession. There can be hypocrites in the church. Now, a hypocrite is an unbeliever.
Right.
So a Christian is never considered a hypocrite from God's point of view.
No. And that's what God is, Jesus is searching our hearts to see that we have that saving faith, that trust upon him.
Yes. Now, some are going to be doing the 10 lepers, where Jesus finds 10 of them, and he just simply says, when they ask him, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And then only one turned back to give him thanks, and he was a Samaritan.
Yeah, Jesus has a unique way of pointing these things out, doesn't he?
Yes.
I mean, a Samaritan, you know, it was half Arabic, half Jewish, you know, or we would call it a cross-cultural marriage that went on.
That's why they were despised by many of the Jews.
Jews, yeah, because they wasn't a purebred.
Yes. And it's interesting, he says, your faith has made you well. Now, in that case, I'm not so sure that the 9 who didn't return to give thanks were unbelievers. I'd be careful there. I'll tell you why. The way that a leper was made okay to go back into society, he had to go to the priest and he was declared clean. When Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priests, they still had the leprosy.
Right.
And it says, and as they went, they were cleansed.
Right.
So I think there was a faith there. And what this story really tells us is they were so excited about their self-identity that they didn't give thought to giving thanks to God. And I want to make it really clear, there are many a time when we should be giving thanks to God and we are not, and it doesn't mean that we're unchristian.
Mm-hmm. That is, you know, a lot of people have interpreted, yeah. I say a lot of pastors interpreted that they had faith and lost it, and you're saying it's not it's possible that they still had it even at the time of the cleansing.
They all said to Jesus, have mercy on us.
Yeah.
And then he just gave him a command. It reminds me of John 9, the man born blind. He is told to go wash in the pool of Siloam after Jesus puts mud on his eyes. And he turns and he starts walking that way. I mean, why would you do that? You're blind. This doesn't make any sense that you're going to be able to see when you get there. But sure enough, he does regain his sight and then has this big argument with the Pharisees who want to ekbalo him out of the synagogue, which means to not excommunicate because there was no communion then, but to remove from the synagogue, which he did, and which made his parents afraid to answer the question as to whether or not he was their son. He's of age. Go ask him.
Well, I think of two others that come out of the Gospel of Luke. There's Zacchaeus in Luke 19. You know, it appears that he's doing good works when he says he'll give back all this stuff that he's taken from people. But Jesus says salvation's come to his house.
Yes.
For he's a son of Abraham. And you said it the other day that in Genesis, 15, Abraham believed and God reckoned it to him as righteousness.
And see, Zacchaeus didn't do those works until after Jesus spoke with him.
Right.
So his good works could not possibly be the reason why he was saved. They're instead the response of his recognition that he was saved when he didn't deserve it.
And I love the illustration that he's up in a tree and nowhere to go, and it's Jesus who comes to him and says, come down, I must stay at your house.
It's just an example of the lost sheep. Someone lost, and Jesus finds them, and this time he wasn't in a hole. He was in a tree.
And the other one that I look at is Luke 7, where the centurion say, and
yeah, explain that one.
Well, you know, the Jewish elders go to Jesus and say, he's got a sick servant. You need to do this thing because he loves our nation. And he's built as a synagogue.
Yes.
In other words, he's done all these works.
Right.
But while ways off, the centurion says, don't come to my house, you know.
I'm not worthy. Yeah.
I'm not worthy. You know, and he says, but just say the word, because I have people under me that I tell them to do this, they do that, and just say the word. And Jesus says, commend them for such a great faith.
Those are three good ones you could bring in on Thanksgiving Day. That's not bad. Because they all have Thanksgiving in them, and they all have it as a response to the mercy and grace that God has given to them.
Right, and I think we also have to keep in mind, what did that Samaritan do? He fell down in front of him, which in those days, to fall down flat on your face in front of somebody is to worship and to give them all the credit.
Yes. And it shows that he believed that Jesus truly was God.
Was God. And he was looking at his faith there.
And we know that Jesus took that to mean that he was praising God. Listen to the words of Jesus. Were not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God?
God, yeah.
Except this foreigner. Now, who's he giving praise to? He's giving praise to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, when I baptize someone, nobody falls down from the family in front of me and gives me praise for bringing their child because they know I'm not God. They probably talked to my wife or something. But anyway, be that as it may, they give praise to Jesus.
You bet.
It's really significant. There's so much in the text that people miss. When all 10 of them believe the word of Jesus, even though they still have leprosy, they turn to go to the priest, and they're healed on the way.
That's right.
And it's not a distinction, I believe, between unbelievers and believers. It's between believers who have recognized the wonderful opportunity to thank God and fall down at the feet of Jesus.
And there, and that's well said, and therein lies why we would go to a Thanksgiving Eve service or a Thanksgiving Day service at one of our churches.
Right, right.
Give thanks to God for what he has done for us.
Yeah, there are some services that few people go to. This one, you do have more, and Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, but one of them is Ascension. A lot of churches no longer even have an Ascension service because few show up, and they put the Ascension on the following Sunday.
Sunday, yep.
But this is Thanksgiving, and so it's going to be kind of interesting. We'll be on next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but then we're off Thursday and Friday. They are going to have some repeat broadcasts of Law and Gospel. I told them to take it from the Insight Wednesday days because those are always fun to listen to again, and they're not dated. Because they have something that be thoughtful about it. But you going to have the family up for Thanksgiving?
It's kind of an interesting year. We're having it early with the family. We're having it on Tuesday.
Yes.
And then one of my former parishes up in Havana, one of my former chairmen, he and his wife, the choir director, invited us over for Thanksgiving. So we're going to go up for that on Thanksgiving Day because the family has to head out back to their place.
Yes, we're having similar situations where some of the family are out of town visiting the parents of the spouse or this sort of thing.
Right, right.
And so, but it's going to be wonderful, and we can really give thanks to God on Friday by helping out businesses, I think.
Well, yeah.
You've got to think of that. I'm telling you, I'm going to show up at Best Buy and get that cheap computer I'm looking for. because that's the only day that if it's cheaper, you can't get the money back on it. But, boy, there's so many places you have to visit. I used to go out about 5 in the morning because a lot of times they open up at 6 a.m.
5. My daughter would go out at 3 and 4 so that she was first or second in line.
Yes, I did that one, and it was a winter day, cold, I don't know, on that year. And it was something for my daughter-in-law that my son had been trying to get for her, and it was only at one store, and they only had about 10 copies. So I drove there also that early and just stood in line. And well, we all stayed in the cars until they let us in, and I was able to get one, and boy, she was really happy with it. But
not here. They pitch tents and all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's Thanksgiving because we're not going to be here next Thursday. So right. You're going to be back, what, in 2 Thursdays?
Well, the Thursday after Thanksgiving.
That's right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I was Pastor Wes Reimnitz. I'm Tom Baker. And tomorrow is Open Mic Friday, which means you can call by 1-800-730-2727, and we'll attempt to answer your questions. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.